You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, August 18th, 2010. This is episode 145, Wells Tech Road Trip, Citrus Heights, California. Welcome back to another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast. We are continuing our road trip, and right alongside in the passenger seat is Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
And how ironic, Martin, that we're talking road trip and passenger seat, because since last week when we talked, my life has changed in a dramatic way.
Okay.
I am in the passenger seat, literally, because I have a 15-year-old son who's got a learner's permit now. So I'm going to be taking a lot of road trips. I can see it in my future.
Are you all right?
Well, no. Kind of a nerve-wracking thing for a mom when her oldest gets a learner's permit.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
He's excited.
I bet he is. What's there to hit in Sleepy Eye anyway?
Oh, my goodness. Don't ask that question.
The occasional cow. Although that can do a lot of damage, I suppose, right?
Yeah, you got to be watching out for those cows. Actually, this weekend is buttered corn day, so you have to watch out for all the corn everywhere. All the buttered corn.
Roads get a little slippery, you know, during buttered corn day. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, wish him well, and I wish you well. And there's probably medication you could take that would keep you on an even keel. So Kevin gets out of that task, or is it a shared responsibility?
Kevin is the man. He's doing the bulk of the teaching. I just ride along after, you know, the hard part's over.
So. Uh-huh. Okay. So after the after he's been trained, then you get to enjoy that part.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we are going to take quite a lengthy road trip this today. We're going all the way out to Citrus Heights, California, and visit Marin McPeak and Matthew Bauer from that congregation. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the cool things they're doing in their church and school websites.
That's right. It's really exciting to visit the St. Mark's website. We'll have a link to that in our show notes. I think everyone will want to check it out. They've got some great content out there and some really innovative ideas that they're doing within their congregation and school. So I think you'll enjoy this interview.
Very good. So without further ado, here's our interview with Marin McPeak and Matthew Bauer from St. Mark's, Citrus Heights, California. Joining us today on the Wells Tech Podcast, two individuals from the left coast in California, Citrus Heights. We have Marin McPeak and Matt Bauer. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A little bit early for you, two-hour time difference. We're here recording at 9 Central, but you've got, you're scratching the sleep from your eyes, I'm sure, at 7 o'clock. I appreciate you doing that. Maybe we could start just by allowing you to introduce yourselves, who you are, your responsibilities in your congregation, what you do for a living. Those kinds of things would be real helpful for our listeners. Marin, maybe you want to start?
Sure. My name's Marin McPeak. I've been attending St. Mark's since about 2000. I have two beautiful children, ages 14 and 8, and I've been married to my husband, Blake, for almost 20 years. Outside the home, I work for a local public middle school doing educational technology work, and at St. Mark's I serve by maintaining the church website, teaching preschoolers and Sunday school, working at VBS, and supporting my husband's efforts as he serves on the St. Mark's Board of Outreach.
Oh, very good. Great to have you. Thank you. And Matt?
I'm Matt Power. I was called to St. Mark's to serve as the principal and 7th and 8th grade homeroom teacher back in 2008, so I just finished my second year here. I'm married to Sarah for 6 years. We have two children. Hallie is 4. She's going to be starting pre-kindergarten in our school this year. And Jarrett is almost 3, so he's got a little ways to go before he starts school. as the principal, I'm involved in, you know, maintaining our school portion of the website, and Marin has been very useful in helping us start to integrate some technology into our education as well.
It's awesome to have help. Tell us a little bit about Citrus Heights and your school in particular. A lot of our listeners may not know where Citrus Heights is.
Citrus Heights is a suburb of Sacramento, about 20 minutes northeast of downtown Sacramento. St. Mark's Church has been here for 45 years, and our school has been here for 40 years. We just celebrated our 40th anniversary this last school year.
Wow.
From the beginning, our school has always been very much intended to be an outreach arm of our congregation, so we are definitely striving to serve the community, and our website and some of the technology that we use is certainly helping us do that too.
Very good. Yeah, that's my old stomping grounds as well. My brother was actually married in that church. So that's where we started attending when we started our mission out in, let's start in Rockland, then in Penrith. So back in the old Pastor Franzman days, way back
sure.
when. So good to have you. One reason we wanted to talk to you both was we take a look at what you're doing on the web, both on the church and the school side, and thought those were great examples of a congregation and a school using technology to assist and enhance ministry efforts. Maybe you could tell us, the Reader's Digest version about the kind of the tools that you're using, the resources that you're using to get ministry going there online.
I'll go ahead and start with that. The website, we use the Final Web product. I've been maintaining it since about 2000, and it's gone through several different changes. We recently actually did an upgrade to the Final Web template A3185 or whatever the number is, and we took a lot of ideas from the goodshepherds.net uh-huh. website, which was featured on one of the Wells podcasts. We really liked the visual appeal of it. Uh-huh. We liked large graphics that communicate the ministry efforts going on here at St. Mark's. We especially liked the upfront info for the guests and visitors idea that they had, so we just recently added that portion to our website. We recently established a Facebook fan page. We started it as a group, the group Facebook page, but we recently changed it to a fan page, and that's been a good way to communicate some of the events that have been happening here at St. Mark's, because when we post information to the wall, it automatically appears on the fans' wall, so it's a great way to get communication out.
Yeah, it looks like you've got a good start, 65 people already using that. So you're using that more for internal communications, keeping members updated on the events going on in the church?
Yeah, I think it's, if you look at our, I was looking at our fan members the other day, and it's a lot of our teenagers, a lot of our college students, but
sure.
even people that have moved away that want to keep in connection with St. Mark's.
Cool, very cool.
Yeah. We established an iTunes store recently, about a year ago, that we've had an archive of our audio files of our worship services and Bible classes since 2004, and we've recently made them available through the iTunes store for use with iPods and the different mobile devices that people have, so it's easy to listen to on the go. I think that's about it.
Okay.
Maybe one other thing to mention is we recently started using, I believe it's called Ustream.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
To stream our worship services live over the internet. So I haven't paid close attention to how many people are making use of that. I've made use of it once, but it's another way for, you know, people to experience our worship service at St. Mark's.
Mm-hmm. How about on the school side, Matt?
On the school side of things, I pretty much maintain that. I'm certainly by no means trained in website design or anything like that, but I look at a lot of school websites and try to learn from them. We're probably using our school website more so to share information with the community about our school. There are certain aspects of it that may serve our present school families, but it's primarily trying to tell people in the community as much as we possibly can about our school. And by having them visit the website, hopefully they feel like they're experiencing our school a little bit and, like I said, getting as much information into their hands as possible.
You know, I think that I'll be pointing people to your church and school website in the future as great examples of content. You know, it's one thing to understand the mechanics of putting the content out on the web, but I think you guys have both put a lot of effort into the information that you're sharing there, and some great examples there of ideas for all the churches and schools to make use of on their sites. So hats off to you in that regard. Are you guys both just one-man shows, or is there a tech committee behind the decisions that you're making to put things out on the web and to use Facebook and that kind of thing?
I would say it's a combined effort. At least I mainly maintain the church side of things, which inevitably is under the control of our Board of Outreach group. But usually what happens is someone will present an idea to me, or I'll have an idea and I'll move forward with it, and then CC the Board of Outreach on it. And usually it's a thumbs up on pretty much everything that's been happening on that side.
Yeah, with the school website, I'm certainly always receiving input from people and try to incorporate that. But at the end of the day, I'm pretty much making the decisions for the school website. Maren certainly kicks ideas my way quite a bit too.
What kind of results? Oh, go ahead.
We do have a technology infrastructure committee that helps not only with the website, but with all the other technology happenings that we have going on here at St. Mark's.
Mm-hmm. That's always a great idea to involve as many people as possible, but in a controlled fashion, and leveraging the gifts that they have and the desires they have to serve, rather than, you know, kind of lumping all that on a couple people. That's really tough, especially the amount of stuff it seems like you guys get on the site, and the number of web properties that you need to maintain, including your new Facebook and Twitter accounts and the iTunes stuff, etc. So what kind of results have you really been seeing from your efforts, you know, the school and the church websites? Are you seeing good traffic numbers through that? Are you getting people into the school as a result of looking at the website? What kind of results are you seeing?
I would say, you know, on our school website, we have a form set up for information requests, and pretty regularly I'll get information requests through the website. So there's definitely people that are looking at it, and that's creating opportunities for them to contact our school. Occasionally, when I put something on the website, for example, this last summer we had summer sports camps, and I had the information flyer on there, and we did a postcard mailing to the community that pointed people in the direction of our website. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to pay attention to how many people were actually visiting that page. So the web counters that you can put on the pages are very helpful to pay attention to how many people are visiting. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty happy with the results with that.
Very good.
We also use Google Analytics. Mm-hmm. So the reports that are generated by that get emailed monthly to our Board of Outreach members. So they can also have metrics on different publicity efforts that we do.
That's a great idea, using not just the analytics to look at them yourself, but kind of advertising the fact that, hey, there are people coming to the site, so it's worthwhile spending some time in your board meetings or in your own thinking time determining how best to use the web and the internet for outreach.
One more direction I wanted to take this conversation before we're done is an exciting direction. One of the things that Maren shared was a program that you're using at St. Mark's on the Moodle course management system. And for our listeners that aren't familiar, Moodle is an open source, free package of software that you can install on a web server and use to deliver online learning opportunities. It's just all set up and package for great course management. And I understand that you've been making use of Moodle there on your St. Mark's campus to train your students. So can you tell us a little bit about that program and how the students have reacted to it?
Sure. I can tell you a little bit about how the program is set up. We actually have a server here that we maintain ourselves, which is where the Moodle runs. And within the Moodle, I created a course on using Google Calendars, which are the same Google Calendars that are embedded in both our church and school websites. Mm-hmm. And what we did is we set up a topic-driven Moodle course for our 7th and 8th graders on how to maintain and use the calendars. And that was done by basically doing direct instruction through showing them a screencast on how to maintain and update the calendars, and they were given assignments that they needed to do for adding and maintaining, deleting events on the Google calendars, and then they had to do screen captures of their assignments and upload them to Moodle for grading. And we also had a quiz in there as well so that we could assess them. And as far as the classroom reaction, Mr. Bauer can talk more on that.
The students really enjoyed it. It added variety to their learning, and using Moodle to do it the way Marin had it set up with the screencast was very effective. The students were able to work their way through learning how to use Google calendars very efficiently. And then we're going to do the same course again this fall, and then the 7th and 8th graders will be responsible for inputting events into the calendars and maintaining the website calendars as well. So they'll have an opportunity to serve in a useful way.
It was also a good training tool, too, because we recently, we have a new school secretary, so I added her as a resource or as a student on the Moodle course so that she also can maintain the school calendars.
So you're using Google Calendar as your school calendar and church calendar?
Yes, embedded on the website. It's our online calendar. We mm-hmm. still use another program for our printed calendar because we know about Google's shortcomings in their print now for their calendars.
I feel like Sally and I have talked about that recently.
Yes, I think so.
Fair work. Yeah. Go ahead, Sally.
I've got another thing to share about Moodle. By no means did this take the capabilities of Moodle as far as what Marin did with the Google Calendars course, but this summer for our students, we did an online book club. So I used Moodle to be sharing assignments with the students, and then there were always some questions for discussion. So we used discussion forums for that. The students would submit their responses, and then they would reply to each other, and we got a little discussion going through the discussion forum. So that was a neat experience. Didn't quite have as many students participate in that as we would have liked, but now that a couple have, they can certainly speak highly for it next summer, and hopefully we'll build it from here.
And as an extension to Moodle, I've kind of been tooling around with the Schoology format and have been talking with one of our pastors about doing a Moodle-type class but on Schoology for the public school confirmation students that we have. So I'm kind of comparing the two of those platforms for doing online learning.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a really fun place to be. I think I'm going to enroll myself at St. Mark's and Citrus High so I can take some of your Moodle classes.
Yeah, especially about January, February time.
There you go.
Well, you know, get the contact to get an account.
That's right. Very good. Well, we appreciate it, Marin and Matt, for your time. And we'll be, I think I'll be doing the same thing that Sally mentioned that she would be doing, is pointing different people at your sites, if that's okay, as great examples of, especially the content. You know, there looks like a very thoughtful approach, you know, to what you're doing. And boy, blessings on your work there in Citrus Heights, California.
Thank you
for being with us. Sally, it was kind of fun to talk to Marin and Matthew, and it sounds like they're having a good time themselves, just trying to figure out how to use all of the available technologies. And boy, they've got some nice, what they put out is a really nice product. They should be proud of that.
Yeah, I was really excited to hear about them using Moodle, which is a free open source course management tool, and you know, the ideas that they had for using it. And Marin was even gracious enough to zip up one of their Moodle courses, the one that they did to teach the students Google calendaring, and send us a copy of that, which we've restored on our own Moodle site, Wells.net University. We'll have a link to that in the show notes, and you'll want to go check that out. And also, if you're interested in a copy of the course, you could email me, and we can email you the zip file, or I think we can even post the link to that if need be. And then to hear them using Moodle for their summer book club idea, too. I mean, just lots of possibilities there, and I think it takes some creativity, which Matt obviously has, to come up with the ideas to use it with the student population, and just really neat results there.
And lest we think they're resting on their laurels, they're even trying some new stuff. Schoolology was a course they mentioned that they're just getting into, right?
Right, and I think, you know, after looking at what Marin again provided links to a sample Schoolology course that they've put out there, and we'll have information about that in the Wells Tech Wiki if you want to go and log in and check it out. It seems that Schoolology is kind of parallel to Moodle, mm-hmm. and that you can put your own courses online using this free website to do it. It has kind of a Facebook feel, right. a little bit more social in nature than mm-hmm. Than Moodle maybe, but a great way to post resources, have discussion boards, put quizzes, all of those kind of things that you can do in that on that platform as well. So again, many thanks to Marin. We love the hands-on ability to go out and try some of these things, and her willingness to share those, I think will be a real bonus to our Wells Tech listeners.
Yep, very good. Thanks, Matthew and Marin, for your time. And let's move along to our picks of the week.
My favorite time of the show, because mm-hmm. we get to explore some fun things that are available out on the web. And this week I'm going to point to a website called thatquiz.org. And speaking of online quizzes, this is a great way to incorporate online quizzes in your either review or actual testing process. And basically what they have is the ability to structure quizzes, and really at any grade level. They start with simple arithmetic. They have time and money kind of quizzes, starting with basics of geometry and going all the way up through geometry, and even up through algebra and calculus type quizzes. So, you know, really cover the gamut in the math spectrum. But it's not just math oriented. They have vocabulary quizzes in multiple languages. They have geography quizzes from around the world and science quizzes. So you can maybe memorize the periodic table of elements or the atomic numbers associated with the elements using some of the quizzes that are available here. You can go to thatquiz.org and take any of the quizzes without any kind of registration. And, you know, I really like it because there's no Google ads to get in your mm-hmm. face or anything like that. It's just a real simple, straightforward, clean website. Safe for, you know, obviously for children to visit and that kind of thing. But you as a teacher can also sign up for an account and add your class and be able to track grades on quizzes, to create links to practice quizzes versus the actual quiz that goes into a grade book, and to customize the quizzes to the specifications that you're looking for, you know, the particular maybe math practice sets that you want the students to focus on, that kind of thing. So lots of capabilities there, and it's free for teachers to get registered and make use of those. In addition, they have a That Quiz application for the iPad. So if by chance you're using iPads in your classroom this year, you can pay $3.99 and have That Quiz available on the iPads as well. And there are many of the components of That Quiz that are downloadable for Windows-based application. So if you're interested in having offline access to the quizzes that are available, then you can do that as well. Lots of possibilities there, and the price tag is free. So you can't really complain about thatquiz.org.
Very good. That sounds really interesting. Very useful tool. Thank you. My pick. I don't know if I referenced this in the show last week, but I finally broke down and I'm going to buy a Kindle. They got the price down far enough that it makes sense, and I'm on pre-order, and it looks like I'll be getting my Kindle 3, as it's called, for Wi-Fi sometime in September. But that's not my pick, because I can't really vouch for how good or bad it is. But Kindle, or Amazon, I should say, also has all kinds of other ways to read Kindle books, or books made for the Kindle, which are essentially electronic books. And one thing that I've been using for a little bit now is Kindle for PC, free download. All you have to do is buy the Kindle book, and then you can read any book that the Kindle store offers, which I believe is, I think they claim over 650,000, maybe that's not all the Kindle books, but I know Amazon, I think it is, over 650,000 books that are in Kindle format, and plus all of the classics, those are all free, so you can get those as well. But one thing I like about the app Kindle for PC is that it allows you to obviously read the book on the screen. But one of the things I use electronic books for especially are like manuals, software manuals. So I recently downloaded one for SharePoint, which is the software running our Kinect intranet. And one of the cool things that you can do, obviously, with electronic books is do searches. So if you're looking for something that's going to serve as a reference tool, being able to search through a book, an electronic book, is a real value. And that is one of the reasons that I was looking at the Kindle in the first place. But now with the PC component, if you're in front of your PC, now you've got the ability to do that. And the Kindle prices are about the same as a hardcover book, maybe a little bit less in some cases. I think they're maybe about the same cost as a softcover book, not a hardcover book. So the price is going to be less in some cases, and you get it immediately from Amazon. You don't have to wait for it. And again, it's searchable. You can also annotate it, which is cool. And all the stuff that you do on the PC version, if you do have a Kindle version or a Kindle itself or an iPhone Kindle app or an Android Kindle app, everything syncs, so you always have that information available to you. So that is my pick, Kindle for PC, free download for Windows, and works on Windows 7, Vista, and XP. I don't know if there's one for Mac. That's an interesting question. I'll have to look that up, but definitely is available for Windows.
And, you know, I've read a couple of interesting things about the Kindle and ebooks in general lately. One of them I read, and I can't cite a source, so I should probably look it up before I do the show notes, but that there's more ebook sales now from Amazon than hardcover book sales.
Yeah, so, I saw that too.
Kind of in a flux here, and it seems like the tide is definitely shifting to be ebook oriented. And you know, another thing I read was, at what point is it going to be that they're giving away the ebook readers,
right?
Or that the price point is just so low,
it's
that just
a giveaway, and they're making their money on the books themselves. Yeah,
to the book club or whatever, and you get the book reader along with it. So
yep,
definitely a wave of the future. So neat that you're on that bandwagon.
Yeah, I see textbooks coming this way, and we're already seeing some schools invest in iPads and those kinds of things. So very interesting space right now. So I'll give my review of the Kindle once I get it in September, but I'm really excited about the ability to search through, especially reference type material. That's a real help, as opposed to trying. You know, you've probably done this too, Sally. You bought a book on Moodle or whatever it is, and you know there's something in here on this, and you kind of fish through the index and you page through it, and you stumble across it. But if you're able to search it, that's a real value. So,
absolutely. Well, my 15-year-old that we mentioned at the beginning of the show requested a Kindle for his birthday.
Oh,
so.
Cool.
From mom and grandma, that's what we ended up with. And so I'll have to do a little bit of playing myself. He hasn't relinquished it to my hands very much. Like, so still enjoying it.
Oh, so he's got one. So which one did he get?
He got the 3G. It was actually the week before they announced the lower price model.
So he got the latest generation, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
So, and it's got a crisp looking screen, boy. It's easy to look at. It's really nice. So.
Mm-hmm. Now there's a whole third, aftermarket segment cropping up of accessories. You got book lights and covers and skins and all kinds of accessories. So lots of good ideas for future birthday and Christmas ideas.
There you go.
All right, let's go on to community feedback.
Well, we heard from Pastor Dan Witte, who's down at Risen Savior in Lakewood Ranch, Florida, and he sent us a link to the 2010 social networking map. This was interesting, Martin. I don't know if you explored the map at all, but it's one of these big, gigantic infographics, they call them, an image that that tells a story, and this one is telling the story of all the different social networking sites that we use, and basically done in map format with the size of these fictitious countries representing the number of users of the particular network tool. Facebook right in the middle with this gigantic country of 500 million users. And there's a lot of fun built into this map, but I do think it's kind of telling to read about all these different things that are out there in the social networking spectrum.
Yeah, what I really enjoy, they have this area called the Land of Defunct Social Networks. So you can kind of see all of the ones that kind of started. Yahoo 360. Actually, three of these are Yahoo. Yahoo MASH, Yahoo 360, Yahoo Kickstart. There's something that I have not even heard of on here, but it tells you that what it tells me when looking at this map is that we Americans are very myopic in our view of in our worldview, where we don't think that anybody exists outside of the 50 states. But there are some significant presences in different countries of different social networks that we've never even heard of that are, you know, even close to or approaching Facebook size. So very interesting.
Yeah, lots to learn there. Yep. And one of the puns that's kind of throughout it is there's always a Google information gathering outpost in a lot of these countries. So So Google's watching everything and gathering information throughout all the space, which is kind of funny. And Google's kind of down at the bottom of the map as being the empire of Google.
Yep.
So I guess we could add to the, what did we call it, the Land of Defunct Social Networks, although I don't know if we'd call Google Wave a social network specifically, but did you hear that Google Wave is going away?
Yeah, isn't that sad? You know, all the hype that was around it, and I thought there was some promise for it. We had even kind of toyed around with the idea of using it for our show note, for our show planning, but probably a good thing we didn't go down that path at this point. But they say that some of the technologies that were birthed as a result of the Google Wave technology itself will make their way into other Google products. So I think there's probably some things that we'll recognize in other places.
Yep, but that's the way of this age that we're living in. You can't, you know, bank on any of these products, unfortunately, because they're in control of them and they may decide to change them or no longer support them,
yep,
you know, depending on how the waves go. So.
Probably even applies to social networks, too.
Yeah,
sure. It's like MySpace is probably headed in a downward direction at some point. And, you know, it's the ebb and flow of technology. So.
Right. All right, next up we heard from our friend Jason Schmidt, who's out at Gethsemane in Omaha, Nebraska, and he posted a link in the Wells Tech Digo group to a page done by PB Works. PB Works, if you're not familiar, used to be PB Wiki, I think, but now it's PB Works, and it's basically a place to get to set up an online wiki or collaborative workspace. And they have a page dedicated to best practices in education. So if you're considering a classroom wiki, this might be a page you want to check out. They cover topics such as how to protect your students online, wiki etiquette for students, 12 ways to introduce wikis in your classroom, and they have some video tutorials that they link to, and just lots of good information. And like I said, this is done by the folks at PB Wiki, so who better to know about wikis than the wiki producer themselves? So hopefully this can be a benefit to you if you're considering a wiki for your classroom.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you,
and
Jason.
Finally, yeah. Finally, we heard from Perry Lund, who's at Grace in Oskaloosa, Iowa, and he tweeted us a link to OmniFocus for iPad. So this is an iPad-only application, and what it's used for is for task management. So this is kind of a powerful, actually, task management tool. It's supported on iPad, and it also works with your Mac. So you can sync up your task management across different platforms. And Perry's review was it looked very promising and very powerful for multiple project type task management. And if that's something that you're looking for and you have an iPad, maybe you want to check out OmniFocus. I did notice in reading about it that it's kind of pricey. I think the iPad version was like $40. And then I think you have to pay for the Mac version separately from that. So.
Right, the desktop version is fairly pricey as well. But this seems to be the standard for productivity tools on the Mac platform. And I've never actually used it. I've seen some demos, and I'm just looking at their website now. But those of you that have listened to our show for a while know that I'm a big fan of the GTD process, getting things done, and I actually teach some a little bit, some productivity classes. And this is this seems like it would meld well with that kind of an approach, where it talks about contexts, where you want your tasks sorted by context, so where you can actually do stuff, so that when you're, you know, out running errands, you have an errands list, and if you're in the office, you have an office list, or if the only thing you've got available is a phone, you have a phone list, so that you're never without something to do based on where you are. And it looks like OmniFocus does a good job at that. So makes me want an iPad even more. But I heard my
you're
son.
You're getting a Kindle.
I know. Well, they're a little bit different.
Okay.
Like, he can have a couple of devices. I heard my son say the other day, he was joining us. Debbie was installed as a upper grade teacher on Sunday. And my son was at lunch with us, and I actually overheard him say to his grandparents that he's not all that interested in an iPad at this point, which I don't know if that was just for their ears only, if he knew if I heard him or not, but thought that was very interesting. So, all right. Any more community feedback?
I think that wraps it up for this week, Mark.
Yeah, but if you'd like to share your thoughts with us, you can always do that. Go to our website, wellstech.wells.net, or send us an email, wellstech@wells.net. Let us know your thoughts. Send us a voicemail, all kinds of ways to contact us. Next week, we have a Bible Software Geek's Dream. We've got three pastors joining us, Dan Witte, Steve Bauer, and Aaron Fry, talking about three of the predominant Bible software packages, BibleWorks, Accordance, and Logos. And just do a quick roundtable with them to talk through some of the pluses and minuses, compare and contrast. So if you're either in the market or you have a particular allegiance, this is a show you will not want to miss as we talk about Bible software.
And that will be our last official road trip destination. We're going to three different locations to wrap up our road trip summer series, and looking forward to getting back to more of a normal routine following that show.
We got almost every district, didn't we? I think we missed one or two.
Yeah, did a pretty good job. The map's pretty full.
Very good. So join us next week for that. Let's close the show with the music of Koine and their song Fight the Good Fight from their album Church Bells. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Fight the good fight with all your might. Christ is your strength and Christ your light. Lay hold on life and it shall be your joy and crown eternally. Run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up your eyes and see. Nor fear. His arms are near. He changes not, and you.